When a respected climate scientist says, "I'm very worried," well, we should give a listen. This is part of a forum held on May 23, 2006 at Berkeley University. It was the China-U.S. Forum on Climate Change. And you can find the whole one-hour presentation at webcast.berkeley.edu as a video. Just look under Special Events.
The first speaker is Inez Fung, professor at UC Berkeley. She's the first Richard and Rhoda Goldman professor in the physical sciences. She's a professor in earth and planetary sciences and environmental policy, science, and management. And she's one of the members of the National Academy of Sciences affiliated with Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory. Thank you.
It's a pleasure for me to talk today about the problem of climate change and global warming. I've been working on this problem for 25 years now, I hate to admit that. And we've been working first the physics of the problem, the mathematics of running huge models, and now the data are coming in. And I would like to start by saying that I'm worried, very worried. So what I would like to spend my time here is to explain to you why I'm worried. This is a picture, obviously, of China, and down there, if I could have a pointer, please. I'm from Hong Kong, and Hong Kong is obviously Hong Kong is here, a very much polluted Hong Kong that I came from, not when I was there. So this is the culprit. CO2 has been increasing. These are highly precise measurements at Mauna Loa Observatory on top of Mauna Loa, about 3,000 meters, 3.4 kilometers above sea level. And what we see is Dave Keeling's record and now the NOAA record. The CO2 has increased from about 315 parts per million to now over 380 parts per million. Parts per million means if I grab a million molecules of air from the atmosphere, I get 70% nitrogen, etc., but 350 or so would be CO2. So CO2 is a very minute, present in very minute quantities. But what we see, as you saw from Dr. Chu's talk, is that now it's 380 in 2005. In the pre-industrial era, it was 280. And during the last ice age, 20,000 years ago, it was 180 parts per million. So it's a very rapid increase of CO2. The CO2 is a natural thing. I breathe out CO2. Plants take in CO2. But what is happening, so there's a natural cycle of CO2. There are plants taking in CO2 and decomposition, returning CO2 back to the atmosphere. CO2 goes into the ocean, and there's gas exchange, and it comes back out. But where the issue is that there's fossil fuel combustion that we all are aware of. The fossil fuel is old, old carbon, about over 100 million years old. And so now we are moving the old carbon out of geologic storage into the very fast cycling between the atmosphere, land, and ocean. And hence, this is the cause of the atmospheric CO2 increase. If we look at this in a different way, the carbon budget now from 1980 to the recent years, the top curve is the fossil fuel emission. And this yellow patch on the bottom is the atmospheric CO2 increase. So what this is telling us is that what we see in the atmosphere is only approximately 50% of what the fossil fuel emission is. The rest of it has gone into the ocean and into the land. And where that, the storage capacity, whether the ocean and land can continue to store the carbon at the same rate is very much an issue that we're concerned with. Why are we concerned about CO2? We all know CO2 is a greenhouse gas. What is a greenhouse gas? It's like my students, okay? They get excited, okay? CO2, this is CO2. So CO2 can do this, okay, at particular wavelengths. CO2 can do this, okay? So in that excited state, and this is a very specific wavelength. You know, I like Bach. My students don't like Bach. They get excited by other wavelengths, other frequencies. Okay, so by doing that, they absorb, and this is what we mean by absorption. The Earth radiation gets into these excited CO2 molecules, okay, they flap around, okay, and so the energy, instead of going out to space, is trapped. And so this is what we see here, the energy budget. So what we get from the sun's energy, and this is approximately 100 units coming in, about 20 units is absorbed by the atmosphere. About half of it reaches the surface, okay, and some reaches and it's reflected back, okay. 30% is reflected back by clouds and by the snow and ice and by deserts. Okay, so for the Earth's energy, for balance, there's 70 units going out. But what we see here is that with CO2 and greenhouse gases, there's a down radiation. This is absorbing the Earth, is radiating at a particular temperature, is radiating. Some of that energy goes out to space, but some of it, a lot of it, is absorbed by the CO2, water vapor. Water vapor is another greenhouse gas that gets very excited in the atmosphere. So other greenhouse gases, and those radiate up and down, and this is what gives our planet a very habitable planet. Without this downward radiation, the Earth would be much colder. We would not be able, would be about at least 15 degrees colder, and we would not have all three phases of water, and it would be all mainly ice. So when we have a CO2 forcing in the atmosphere, if we increase the CO2 in the atmosphere, several things happen. One is what we call feedback. They're amplifiers or other things that may diminish or amplify the forcing. So if we have CO2, we have an initial warming here, then evaporation from the ocean, if we have the CO2 will warm the surface, the evaporation from the ocean will increase the water vapor in the atmosphere, and water vapor being another greenhouse gas, get excited in the atmosphere, absorb the radiation, and so this feeds back into more warming. Okay, if the water condenses and we have cloud cover, increase in cloud cover will increase the reflection of sunlight, and so that is a negative feedback, or this diminishes the warming. And on the other side, the three phases of water, if we melt snow cover, then this decreases the reflectivity of the surface from about 60% to about 10%. Then this increases the absorption of solar energy, and so this also warms. So where we have, while we are very certain about the physics of CO2 warming, the excitation of CO2, where we are disagreeing, when we hear about uncertainty, it is in the marvelous Earth. We have three phases of water, but the partitioning of the three phases of water is something we're still working with. But the bottom line is, it doesn't change the conclusion, is that the warming, the amplification of the warming by increasing water vapor and by decreasing snow cover overwhelms the negative feedback from the increasing cloud cover. So you have seen this curve before. This is the thermometer record of surface air temperature. So what you see here is the temperature, this is the warming, this is relative to the period 1950 to 1980. The warming is greatest at high latitudes, okay, this is because the snow and ice is melting, okay, so there is amplification of the warming due to the albedo effect, okay, so this is the surface is getting darker, more energy is absorbed. The bottleneck, how fast, okay, the bottleneck to the warming is the ocean. These are observations derived from observations, the penetration of fossil fuel CO2 into the ocean. Here is the Atlantic, the Pacific in the middle, and the Indian Ocean on the bottom. And what you see here, the ocean, we have 4,000 meters of water. In the And this is heated from above, okay? This is the CO2's coming from above, the pollutants, other things are coming in from above. The ocean is stably stratified, which means that it is really difficult to make for things to move down. So there's very few diffusion of chemicals and heat into the deep ocean. So what we see here is that in over 200 years of CO2 increase, the anthropogenic CO2 has only penetrated to 500 to 1,000 meters in the ocean. Okay, so this is not even a quarter of the way down in 200 years. So this is the point I want you to know, to remember here is that the heat is going in the same way. So there's slowly the ocean is warming up slowly, and as the ocean warms up, then there's more evaporation, more water vapor, etc. So this is a continuing loop that is going on. So that when we look at the climate models, then this is two recent models, you have seen this graph before, is that when we put in all the forcing, okay, the CO2 increase, the methane, the nitrous oxide, the aerosols, the volcanoes, solar variability, the climate models can reproduce to the lowest order the trends, the global, the large-scale pictures of climate change, not only in the atmosphere, but also in the penetration of heat. This figure starts in 1993 because this is when we first started having consistent observations from drifting buoys in the ocean. So how fast? Let's look at the bottom figure first. This is, as I said, the ocean has not warmed up. The full potential of the ocean warming has not been realized. So this is if we held the CO2 at 380 parts per million and held it constant for the 21st century by some magic, there's still warming in the pipeline. This is unrealized warming, or you call it committed warming. This is warming or still in the pipeline. And we're talking about 2 degrees, okay? Another, we're halfway, we're approximately realize half the warming potential of the CO2 that's in the atmosphere now. Okay, and if we have further increase CO2 in the atmosphere, business as usual, so CO2 in this particular scenario increasing from 380 to 680 parts per million over the next century, then you can see widespread warming globally. And this is huge, okay, this is to 2100, so this is the last 20 years minus the 1980s, okay, 100-year difference in these plots. So this is another 3 to 4 degrees in the pipeline, at least at high latitudes. So you've seen this a lot. This is the melting glacier. And the reason we're saying it's important, it is urgent and everything, is not just it is melting, the glaciers are melting more rapidly. This is from Yunnan, the glacier, and I don't think that this was meant to be off the ice. It was supposed to be on the glacier, okay? And this is from Greenland. You can see the river forming. Two students fell into the river. This is not normal in Greenland, okay, to have a river that carries the heat. So it's not just that we are seeing, we finally, for after doing calculations and saying high latitude amplification of the warming, all of that, not only is the data showing that the ice is melting, that the warming is fastest at high latitude, that theory is correct, what is concerning us is that the amplification, the faster the ice is melting, the faster the glaciers disappear, the faster the warming will take place. Okay, so this is, the alarm is not just it is happening, but this is saying that it will be happening faster. Another concern is the calculation I've been doing, is that I talked about the fossil fuel present day, the atmospheric abundance is only half of what we have released into the atmosphere. The remaining half have gone into the land and ocean. Now, with the ocean, with warming, you're heating from above. The stratification, the ocean is going to be more stably stratified. It is tougher for stuff to mix down. Okay, so the ocean's capacity for to store carbon will decrease because of pH changes, because of the warming, because of the stratification, because of the circulation. Also for the land, with warming comes drying. You know, we have debated whether there's going to be increase or decrease or decrease precipitation. That doesn't matter. You have to look at the soil. Plants grow in the soil. And so when it's warmer, there's evaporation. Okay, so that where it is warm, for example, in the summer in the southeast, in the tropics, warming means drier. Doesn't matter whether it's more rain or less rain. Warming means dry because the evaporation exceeds the precipitation supply. Okay, so with drying, then the plants are not going to do so well. And so what we have is that with warming and drying, both the land is decreasing its capacity to store carbon. Okay, the ocean is decreasing its capacity to store carbon. Okay, and this is the airborne, how much, you know, the fraction of fossil fuel that goes into the atmosphere. But not only that, the point I want to make here is that this scenario, CO2 emission scenario, is very rapid. Okay, so when it's very rapid, it is faster than the CO2 can get through that bottleneck I showed you before. Okay, so that means that there's even more CO2 accumulation in the atmosphere, which means faster warming still. So what I want to end up with is to tell you that I can't summarize 25 years of research in 15 minutes, but I want you to give you a flavor that the science is there. Okay, the global warming is real. The models are doing a reasonable job of at least getting the bottom line. Okay, we're still working on the details of whether the Southeast or, you know, San Francisco versus LA, Northern California, Southern California, but the global large-scale picture is there. We have, for the 21st century, we have drying of the tropics, and so there's reduced carbon uptake, and that accelerates the warming, stable stratification in the ocean. We reduce the thermohaline circulation, we reduce the carbon uptake, and that also accelerates the warming. And when the fossil fuel emission is faster than the land and ocean can take it up, that also accelerates the warming. Okay, so everything, and of course the destabilization of the glaciers with the albedo getting the surface getting darker and absorbing more sunlight, that accelerates the warming. So where we are is not whether there will be warming, but how fast will the warming occur. I'd like to end with this figure. If I were the planetary doctor, I would tell the patient that there's a fever. You have a fever. Not only do you have a fever, the lungs are not very clear. This is not dust. This is the haze over China, and this is the entire country. And the prescription is reduction at the source, okay? Chinese medicine, we work on regulating the system. We do not write a prescription. We don't go to the doctor, write a prescription to say, deal with something that I have, okay? I'm prescribing for the fever and for the very hazy air. It's really reduction in the carbon emission. So thank you very much.
This is part of a forum held on May 23, 2006 at Berkeley University. It was the China-U.S. Forum on Climate Change. And you can find the whole one-hour presentation at webcast.berkeley.edu as a video. Just look under Special Events.